Green Visions on KUMD encourages green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items, and by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. Tom Beery joins us on the phone. It's Dr. Tom Beery, I keep forgetting. He joins us on the phone this morning. He's the resiliency specialist for Minnesota Sea Grant. But what it doesn't say anywhere in my information is that he is a marketing genius. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
You are a marketing genius because the announcement on this for this event that's coming up says it's a blue-green algal-covered world. Protect your family, pets, and beer from harmful algal blooms. And if I don't know what's going to bring people out to a conversation about climate, that is going to bring people out to a conversation about climate.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Because now you've struck them where they live.
Credit for that, but that would go to one of my colleagues, Marie Tom. She's the word wizard.
Well, I tell you, that's definitely going to get people's attention when you strike them where they live like that.
So we live in a part of the country that we love our lakes, our big lake, and all our smaller lakes, and many of us retreat to those lakes. We love our dogs and our pets, and we love being outdoors, and now we just so happen to sort of live in the epicenter of craft beer. So you put all those things together, and really that's what we're going to do next week, and add climate change to that mix as well.
I tell you, when I think about dogs and lakes and craft beer, I don't, and then I add the words algal bloom into the middle of it. I just kind of, ugh.
I know. So here's the deal. Every month we have what's called the Twin Port Climate Conversation, and it's a pretty cool thing. You know, we usually meet on Tuesdays, the third Tuesday of the month, and it's wide open to the public, and we have lunch together, we have a presentation and a discussion, and every month it's something different, but the key theme is how, you know, climate change in the Northland and thinking about mitigation and adaptation. So what I mean is, you know, how we slow climate change and how we prepare for projected changes. And so that's what this whole event next week is about. It's a part of our series, and we're changing up a little. We're going to do it not at lunch, but at late in the afternoon. And
And I bet I can guess why. Not everyone has the luxury of being able to indulge in an adult beverage at lunch.
That's right.
And I bet it's the sort of thing. I don't know. Some people probably think, yeah, if I'm going to sit and listen to a conversation about this serious topic, I might need an adult beverage or two, or want one.
Right.
Okay, so you scooched it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Time-wise.
So we're going to meet at 4 o'clock at Bend Paddle, and that is a nice place to meet just because they've got this lovely new facility. But it's a nice place to meet as well because here's a local business that is really putting an emphasis on their place in a sustainable economy and an emphasis on our water resources and clean water resources. So we're really happy to team up with Bent Paddle. But folks are welcome to come at 4 and grab a beverage if that's of interest. And at 4:30, we're going to get a little more serious. And my colleague, Dr. Chris Filstrup, who is a scientist he's a limnologist. He studies lakes. And he works with Minnesota Sea Grant and the Large Lakes Observatory. And Chris is really an expert in blue-green algae and cyanobacteria. And he is, not only is he an excellent scientist and an expert in that particular field, he's a really good guy, and he has the ability to translate difficult science to a general population. So he can make blue-green algae quite interesting to just about anybody.
You know, I'm curious about that a little bit. I don't want to sidetrack you too completely, but I'm curious about what you just said. To the extent that we're living in an unprecedented time of skepticism about science, let's put it that way. And I'm wondering if a scientist's ability not to compromise the science, not to compromise the facts of what they're talking about, but if a scientist's ability to translate what they're talking about in terms to people, to explain it to people, to talk about the implications of it to people, to bring it to a human level, if that would perhaps be more helpful for people to kind of get back on board with the scientific method, perhaps, and some of the things that scientists are trying to tell people about.
Lisa, I think you're right on. We scientists have to take some responsibility for this current theme of distrust in science, and I think part of that has come from an inability to effectively communicate important scientific topics to the general public. And so if scientists are just talking to other scientists, of course there's value in that, sharing knowledge, moving forward with research, you know.
And they speak the same language, which I'm sure is really comfortable.
Right. But there has to be that spinoff where then we translate science into meaningful. And I don't mean dumb it down. I don't mean compromise it. There are plenty of good scientists out there that can take very complex ideas and speak to the general public in ways in which are very understandable. And what's important is not only that we see the value of science around us, but then in particular in this case, there's also this underlying message that there's a public health element to this, protecting your kids, protecting your pets, you know, really knowing what's going on in the lake right out in front of your cabin or your home, or that this is information that the public needs to know. And so it's not just about the interest in science. There's some real public health outreach here.
Well, so then the conversation, as you mentioned, then about 4:30, the conversation, and Dr. Filstrup's going to talk, and the conversation becomes an opportunity for him to talk about blue-green algae, about the threat, where it comes from, how it's connected to climate change, and what the possible repercussions are. And I would imagine, as you mentioned, with this booming craft beer industry, everyone credits our fabulous water and the way our water tastes so wonderful. Is Lake Superior in danger from algal blooms, or are we just talking about smaller lakes?
Well, right now, most of Chris's work is regarding our inland lakes, smaller lakes. Now, you know, are shallow zones of Lake Superior in danger? That's a really good question for Chris, you know, and that is a topic of discussion right now. But his focus is more on our inland water resources and looking, because that is where the problem is more pronounced. And what he's going to do, what I think is interesting is, and you said it well, I just want to reiterate this, run us through, okay, what exactly is this blue-green algae and why does it appear? But also take that next step of, based on current accepted climate projections, how that will intersect, how the climate projections may impact these current trends we're seeing in algal growth in inland lakes. So you know, bringing these two topics together so that we can be literate about what's happening right now, but also thinking forward.
I think another thing about science, the importance of science, and I think that this also translates to public health, because there have been some places where science and public health and public perception have kind of all T-boned at an intersection also, is to kind of go back and remind people about the scientific process, because sometimes when you do something, it almost seems to the general public kind of like, you know, they're like voodoo, you know, or there's waving of hands and then you hit it with a magic wand and poof, you come up with these climate change projections, for example. And to kind of go back and walk people through the steps and say, okay, this is how we arrived at this conclusion. We didn't just invent it to look important or to serve an agenda.
Yeah.
And that's how I think, too, if you lay the steps out for people, that will perhaps help them have trust again in science and take what you're talking about with regard to a public health emergency, you know, or a public health concern at this point more seriously.
Yeah, and, you know, Lisa, I'm glad you bring up how we really do engage the public. And one aspect of the presentation next week is we're going to present Bloom Watch. All right, and Bloom Watch is an app, you know, a public sort of a crowdsource app, which allows the public that the engaged, educated public that witnesses algal growth or is concerned or questioning algal growth to be able to interact online through this crowdsource app, and so. We think that's it's an aspect of what we call citizen science. It's how all of us can look at the world and ask good questions and put our questions out there for others, but also collect data.
And be a part of it. And be a part of it and say, science is me. Science is, you know, the birds that I'm seeing or the frogs that I'm counting or the algal blooms that I'm reporting.
Absolutely. Yep. We know at late in the afternoon, a long talk isn't probably high on everyone's agenda. So Chris is going to keep it short and sweet. And then there'll be question and answer. And then we'll look at Bloom Watch. And all of that heavy duty science stuff will finish up well before 5:30. And then if people want to hang out and enjoy that lovely venue of Vent Paddle, they're welcome to hang out with us and keep the discussion going about dogs or lakes or algae or whatever. So that's the game plan.
Well, of course, my big question would be, is it a dog-friendly event? But maybe not. Maybe not. That's a question for another time. Tom?
Yeah, but, you know, it's dog-friendly in the sense of people want to protect their dogs, so there'll be good information about that.
Absolutely, because what's going to the lake without bringing your dog to the lake?
Right.
Tom, thanks so much for joining us. What a treat to have you on the air. Always is, always has been. Have a great day.
Thanks for your interest and the listeners' interest, too.
Tom Beery this morning joins us. He's the resiliency specialist for Minnesota Sea Grant and our guest this morning for Green Visions on Northland Morning. Green Visions is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering organic, homemade, and fair trade menu items. And Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Port supplier for renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.